Good evening, church.
Good evening, Dave.
It's good to be back in this pulpit. I've had kind of a tough time this first 4 months of the year. I was in Pahrump January and preached February, and I was sick in March, and I was in Pahrump last Sunday. And so I told Bruce, first of all, I was just going to bow out this month, and then I saw on the schedule where he was going to have preached two Sundays in 1 month, and I didn't want to overwork him, so I said, look, let's just switch these around, and then we won't have a problem with it. So it's always good to be back here. It's good to talk to you guys. If y'all don't like this sermon tonight, you can blame Preston, because he talked about a subject last time he talked about, if it's God's will, I believe, right? God's grace. But there's so many sayings out there. And one of my pet peeves is the truth shall set you free. So if you don't like this, talk to Preston, okay? We're going to talk about the truth shall set you free tonight. I have a question. You think you know what this means? Most of us in here should. But most out in the general public don't. Okay, not so fast, my friends. Because as I was thinking about this particular subject, I started asking different individuals what this meant, and I found most people don't know the meaning. Sad, but they don't. Most think it's about lying or not. Most of us have probably told some little white lies somewhere or sometime in our life, and we've heard, just tell the truth. That will set you free. And if that's ever happened to you, how'd that work out for you? So what if you confess to a crime? Do the police set you free? No. All right? And we see that. You know, we watch a lot of crime shows on TV. We like those. And you're sitting in an interrogation room, and the guy says, look, just come clean. We'll talk to the district attorney, and we'll make everything good. Yeah, right? The next thing you see him hauled out in handcuffs. If you've done something wrong at home, your parents tell you, just tell the truth. And you do. And how'd that work out for you? There are times you get in trouble. Maybe get grounded. Or some other consequence happened. Did that set you free? You probably felt better about coming clean with the truth, no doubt about it. But you didn't get set free necessarily. What if you did something really wrong at work and you fess up to the truth? There was consequences. Maybe even dismissed from your job. I'm thinking of the guy that maybe embezzled money over a period of years. Well, just tell the truth. You know, you'll be okay. Yeah, right? Didn't work out. Now, don't get me wrong, all right? It's always better to tell the truth. And one nice thing about telling the truth is you don't have to remember what you said. Because if you tell a lie, pretty soon you're telling another one. And then you're telling another one. And then you're telling another one to cover that one up. And you get caught up because you can't remember what the lies we're all about. But the truth I want to talk about tonight is Jesus. Jesus is that truth that we seek. And I'm going to center this around John 8, 31 and 32. Most of us probably know those two verses by heart. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the truth that sets us free. It's not coming clean with the police. It's not coming clean with mom and dad. It's not coming clean with the boss. Yes, those are all truths, but that's not the truth that we talk about when the truth will set you free. In John 14, 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In John 17, 17, it says, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. So we see in this, talking about the truth and Jesus being the truth, he makes the statements. If you abide in my word, if you do what I ask you to do, if you're obedient, then you are truly my disciples. Flip the coin. If we're not doing that, then we're not a disciple. If we're not doing everything in our power to walk the way Jesus walked and do what Jesus asked us to do, we're not a true disciple. He says, abide in my word. That word abide is strong. Okay? And then he said, if you do that, if you're doing that, and you are my disciples, then you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And we see in 14:6, Jesus answers, if you had any questions about that, Jesus answers it here. He answered and he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Make no doubt about it who the man is. And then he further says, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So if we don't abide in his word, we're not disciples. If we don't study and go into God's word and figure out who this man Jesus is, how do we know the truth? How do we know that truth that will make us free if we don't become acquainted with him? Communication is a key in life. You want a happy marriage? Stay in communication with one another. You want a happy marriage with Jesus? Communicate with him. Pray. Sanctify them by the truth. The word is truth. That's the written word. That's the truth. That's the truth that will set us free. When we talk about being set free, we look at the freedom we have through Jesus. In Romans 6:18, it says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Turn that around and look at the world. Look at a lot of our friends and even relatives, co-workers, and turn that around. You have been set free from righteousness and became slaves to sin. That's if you don't have this freedom that we're talking about, this truth in Jesus that we're talking about. You have been set free from sin. That's when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. That's when we accepted him as the Son of God. That's when we went down into a watery grave and came out a new person. We were set free from sin. And now, instead of being slaves to sin, we're slaves to righteousness. A lot happier situation for me. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He wants us this way. He wants us to be a slave of righteousness. Why do you think he died on a cross for you and me? It was so that we might become free through him. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. This is Paul writing to the churches in Galatia. What does it mean to stand firm? Don't deter off the path. Don't get away from what Jesus wants you to do. Don't get away from what this written word tells us to do. Stand firm then, and do not be encumbered once more by a yoke of slavery. Now, if the remembrance is right here, these churches are about 10 years old from when Paul originally set them up. So these are still fairly young Christians. We have fairly young Christians in the group, all right? But it says here, stand firm then. Don't be encumbered once more by a yoke of slavery. That means don't go back into that old life. It's easier to do. Sometimes it's not easy with all the pressures that we have in everyday life to stand firm. I see a head shaking. Yeah, we have a difficult time. You know, we sit in here and we can say all the right things and do all the right things. But when we walk out those doors and go back out into the world, it's a whole different deal. And nobody said it was going to be easy. God didn't say it was going to be easy. But he said, if you abide back here, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciple, you'll get along a lot better. But Paul's telling the church in Galatia, stand firm. Don't let the old life get you. Don't go back into it. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, he tells the church in Corinth, he said, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, guess what? There is freedom. And Romans 8:2, for in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set you free from the law of sin and death. Now, why wouldn't we want to be there? Why would we not want to get to know this truth that will set us free? Why would we not want to get to know the guy that says, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life? I don't have an answer to that question. I would hope most of us don't have the answer, because we should be doing what Jesus wants us to do. Why would we want to do anything different? James 1:25, James says, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom, what does it mean to look intently? That means to be devoted to it, to look into it, to know it. Then he makes another statement right behind that, and he says, and continues to do so. You don't just think you know everything and quit learning. Doesn't work that way. Not being a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer. How many of us just hear the word, okay, that's good, and we don't do anything about it? We need to be doers of the word. James goes on further in chapter 2 and says, your faith without any works is dead. You're hearing it and you're not doing it. Back to what John had to say, you're not a disciple. You're not abiding in what Jesus wants done. So if you read this all together now, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and continues to do so, not being a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, guess what happens? He will be blessed in what he does. If we're doing everything that God wants us to do, everything that Jesus set out to and showed us what to do, if we're doing all that, we're going to be truly blessed. We don't have to think so at times, because life can get tough. But Paul tells us in Corinthians, God's not going to put any more on our shoulders than what we can handle. And if you believe that, then we'll get through the ups and downs of life. If you have the faith to get through it, then you'll get through the ups and downs of life. You know, we look at that verse on faith, just a little bitty mustard seed. That's all you got to have. But that could be a tremendous amount for someone that has a problem with it. We look out in the world today and all kinds of stuff going on. Where's our faith that God's in control? Because he is. He's the one that's in control. But if we look intently into that perfect law of freedom, we're going to figure all that out. And if we're going to be, you can't be a forgetful hearer. You can't hear it and then just shove it aside and not think any more about it. You have to be a doer of what you're hearing. And then you'll be truly blessed. That's what James says. In 1 Peter 2:16, Peter says, live in freedom. What does that mean? Get into the Bible, understand what the Bible has to say, get to know the truth that will set you free, and you can live in that freedom. But don't use this freedom as a cover-up for evil, he goes on to say. Well, how's that work out? You know, it's like Paul, when he says, you're baptized and you continue to sin, then what good is that? You can't use an excuse to cover up stuff. If you're living in freedom, don't use that freedom as a cover-up for evil. Don't say, I'm good, and continue to do sinful acts. Doesn't work. And in the last part of that verse, Peter comes on and he says, live as servants of God. So live in freedom. Don't use that freedom as a cover-up. Live as servants of God. The complete statement there. Then in Psalm 119:45, it says, and I will walk in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. I will walk in freedom. And how we walk in freedom, I have sought your precepts. I seeked out what I was supposed to do. I looked, I studied, I did what I was supposed to do. I am abiding in Jesus. The truth will set me free. And I walk in that freedom because I sought those precepts. Hearing about the truth through Jesus. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. We know that Son of God has come. And we know he's coming back. That's the faith we have. The hope we have of a home in heaven. Paul says in Ephesians 4:21, surely, the guy said, don't call me Shirley. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in keeping with the truth that is in Jesus. You heard of him, you were taught in him, and we know these letters that Paul wrote were written to Christians that were in the cities and towns where he sent the letters, the church at Ephesus. He's just saying, you heard him, you heard of him, you were taught of him, and you kept with that truth. You were baptized, you accepted it. Stand firm. Colossians 3:10, it says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We put on a new creature. We walk as Christ walked when we're baptized. Put on the new self. You go down into that watery grave and get rid of all the stuff behind you and come out anew. I think most of us in here have been that. And it's a wonderful feeling when you come up out of that water and say, here I am, God. I'm ready to go to work for you. I've given all that other stuff away. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy to stay there. And especially for people that have come out of the world and don't have backing of family. I have no idea what that's like. I was born and raised in a Christian home. My dad was an elder. I went to church. I was raised in the church. I accept Jesus when I was 16 years old. I have no idea what it is to come out of a world that mom and dad are not, maybe not even going to church, and you've got all kinds of difficulties in family. You're working in a workplace that nobody has any intentions of believing in God. I have no idea what it's like to come out of those situations. But I do know that in those situations, people that are in that, if they stay with God's word, if they stay firm, if they abide in Jesus the way they're supposed to, they'll overcome all that. God will get them through it. But it's not going to be an easy trek. Put on a new self. You heard of him. You were taught in him. Now keep that truth. 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. I like Timothy. There's a lot of instruction in there, not only to young Christians, but to Christians like us. And this is what he's telling Timothy in 2 Timothy. He said, he must gently reprove those who oppose him in the hope that God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. We can't just hammer God's word at people. We have to gently reprove them as we oppose them. You have to do it with love. You have to do it with kindness. You have to do it with moderate voices. We can't get angry with people because they don't accept what we're trying to tell them. Again, you have to remember, when we're working with someone, a lot of times we don't even know what their background is. And I don't remember whether it was Bruce or Press, somebody said, I would rather work with someone that has no knowledge than to try to teach someone that's got 30 years of some type of religion. Because you have to unlearn all of that before you can teach new. It's like when I was training salespeople, I'd rather have some greenhorn come in off the street and let me teach him what to do than to take someone that's got bad habits. And that's kind of the way it is in Christianity. But when there is opposition, we have to be careful how we do that. In the hope that grant may God that them resistance leading to a knowledge of the truth. Get rid of that opposition and let that repentance come. Then, he tells Timothy, then they will come to their senses. How many times have we said that? So, just come to your senses, man. It's not that difficult. Yeah, it is. Then they will come to their senses. They will escape, to get away from the snare of the devil, who has taken them captive to his will. Deja vu, the same thing going on today. People are captive of the devil. And then lastly, righteousness lasts forever through Jesus. And I picked a couple verses out of Psalm here. I thought it was appropriate. They're simple, easy to understand. Psalm 119, 142 says, your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true. It can't get any more simple than that. And in 119, 160, the entirety, that's the whole thing, of your word is truth. And all your righteous judgments endure forever. The truth, which will set us free, still applies the same way today. Today, however, we don't seek that corruption from the Roman Empire. We still all suffer under the bondage of sin, however. Perhaps today we seek safety from debt, stress, anxiety, a lack of discipline maybe in our Christian life, or a number of other issues that, you know, I don't know. If we're focused on these worldly needs, probably then we're going to likely limit a verse like, the truth will set me free, to the things we want or need. However, what Jesus taught us in John 8:32, that should hit our soul. Not only our minds, but our soul, and is much greater than any emotion that we might have. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth that will set us free. Not acknowledging a lie to someone. The lesson is yours tonight. When we look at Jesus, we look at the truth setting us free. We also look at what do we need to do to have that truth. What do we need to do to have Jesus? You have to hear the word. You have to believe the word. You have to confess. You have to repent of sin. And you have to be baptized. And then, as it was said in John, you have to abide in Christ. Revelation says, live a righteous life forever. Same thing. That's what we need to do to have that truth in our life. That's what we need to do to have that freedom in our life. Those of us that are already Christians, maybe we need to re-examine our attitudes. Maybe we need to look in that mirror and say, are you really abiding in Jesus? Are you really doing everything you're supposed to do? Maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need help doing that. Maybe we need some help in our lives. We're here for that. If you need help, we'll pray for you. I've said it many times, I'll keep saying it. If we don't know what your problems are, we can't pray for them. And if we're going to be like a family, my sister knew pretty much everything that was going on in my life I knew a lot of what she was going on. That's what family is. We worked with each other. We helped each other. That's what this church family is supposed to do. Don't put a hindrance on it. So if we have any kind of a need, we'll stand and sing the invitation song.